The holiday season begins at Labor Day. That is when I begin listening to Christmas music. But not every day, just when the temperature drops below 80 degrees. Then after Thanksgiving, my goal is to listen to a different Christmas Spotify playlist every day and try to get through all of them. And I like most of the songs I hear in them because I love Christmas music. Some, though, you got to admit, are harder to get into than others. Like, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Like, no, thank you. I don't. What am I going to do with that? You know? Or here, this one really sets the mood. This gets you in the Christmas mood. So this is Christmas. My life is a mess. My good days are bad days. This makes me depressed. I don't think those are the words of the song, but it sounds like it feels like that, you know? And so some are harder to get into. Now, here's one you would think would be easy to get into because it's just a great traditional song. Oh, come all you faithful. Until you get to the second line, joyful and triumphant. I mean, that's kind of hard these days. I mean, the faithful part is hard enough, but joyful and triumphant, that's kind of a stretch. You know, triumphant's not a word getting a lot of use these days. I think the word that's more useful today is uncertainty. Like who knows what next year will hold? Will we continue to have every week a new list of men we can no longer trust? You know, despite all the efforts of so many people who've worked so hard for reconciliation, racial tensions still seem to exist and still seem to be so hard to reconcile. The guy in North Korea with a bad haircut, he keeps trying to pick a fight with the world. And while many of you are still living in RVs or with your family while you're waiting for your homes to be rebuilt, California's been on fire all month. And so, you know, is this a time when we can be joyful? Can we hope, you know? The last half year has been pretty rough. So can we still sing in 2018? Can we be faithful? Can we be joyful? Dare we hope to be joyful and triumphant? Well, the answer actually is yes, a resounding yes, because of this one reason, because of the reason of Christmas, what Jesus did when he came to earth. He came from heaven to earth to say, I am with you. Do you know that promise of I am with you, it's one of the most often repeated promises in the Bible? You heard several of them just a few minutes ago, but there are so many, many more. We lost count of them just looking through the Bible at all those I'm with yous. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let me tell you a story. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, there was a king reigning in Judah whose name was Ahaz. Two kings to the north of Judah were planning to wage war, and in fact, they invaded Judah and Ahaz. Ahaz's armies withheld them at first, but then Ahaz got word that a third king might be joining them. And Ahaz was frightened. He was very uncertain. There was also another man living in Judah at the time whose name was Isaiah. Isaiah was a good man. Isaiah was a godly man. In fact, Isaiah was a prophet or a spokesman for God, and God told Isaiah to go to King Ahaz with this message. He said, say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. And then referring to the two kings attacking him, God said, do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Now, that didn't mean anything to us, but that was actually a Jewish cut down. I can just see it when Isaiah said that to King Ahaz. Ahaz's advisors probably looked at each other and went, ooh, burn. It'd be like God telling us today, don't be afraid of Rocket Man over in Korea, okay? You're all right. He can't hurt you. Well, Isaiah went on. He said, they have plotted your ruin. Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. And then to be certain, Ahaz got the message. God said, I'm going to give you a sign. Here's the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I was trying to think of what Ahaz must have thought when he heard that he would get a sign. So what does this mean, a virgin shall conceive, have a child, name him Emmanuel? He probably thought some woman in his kingdom, perhaps in the royal family, was going to soon get married, then have a child. And then when the child was born, it would be a boy, and she would name him Emmanuel. And so I'm sure that's what Ahaz was waiting for. And while he was waiting for this to happen, The threat passed. The two armies went away. And at some point, Ahaz probably forgot about the sign Isaiah promised him. No one probably thought much about it until hundreds of years later, a follower of Jesus Christ named Matthew, one of Jesus' biographers, who trusted Christ, he connected the dots. He was reading Isaiah and he saw that prophecy and he knew that that sign had come to take place because he had seen it happen. He knew that that virgin was Mary and that child was Jesus, who is now the man whom he realized now is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so when Matthew wrote his version of the Christmas story in the book named after him, Matthew, in the first chapter, he said this. He quoted Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You know, whether you feel it or not, God is here. This is the story of Christmas in a nutshell. Jesus came from heaven to earth, became one of us, came here with us so he could say, "I am with you." He's always been with us. He always will be with us. Yet I know for some of you, that just isn't registering right now. You're not feeling it, and I get that. I get that. It's hard sometimes to believe that God is with us when we can't sense or feel his presence. But it's like this. You know, when we focus on one thing like our current reality, it's pretty easy to miss something else that's also a reality. You see, when you're not looking for God, it's real easy to miss him. But he's still here. He is still with us. And if you're having trouble right now seeing God or sensing or feeling his presence, and you're just not feeling this, that God is with you, don't feel bad. You're in good company. Jesus' hand-picked 12 disciples that he chose to spend time with him for 3 years, 24/7, sometimes even in his presence, didn't really get that sense of security that God was with them. Even Matthew, who picked up on the sign that Isaiah gave. I'll tell you another story. One day, the disciples, you know, they were in a boat. They were crossing a lake. We call it Lake Galilee or Sea of Galilee. And this is what happened with them. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he, Jesus, fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Well, he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm, all was bright. Where's your faith? Jesus asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." I mean, we understand storms here, right? And we've had our share of them. Gosh, we had a near blizzard 2 weeks ago. You don't believe me? Ask the kids who saw their first snowflakes and built their first snowmen. It may not have been a blizzard, but we had a white Christmas, and we'll take it. Thank you, people from up north who've seen more snow in a week than we'll ever see in a lifetime. It was good enough for us. We get excited. We will, and we shut everything down. It's just how we roll. Okay, back to the story of the disciples in the boat with Jesus. I want to ask you a question. When the storm came up and the boat with Jesus and his disciples began to fill with water and actually was beginning to take on water and sink, what was the reality of their situation? "We're going to drown." I mean, that was an ever-present reality. But did they drown? Did the boat sink? No. Here's why. It was because the wind and the waves were only a part of reality. They were real, but they were part of reality and only a temporary part of reality. Here's the deal. The rest of reality was up in the front of the boat, sleeping in heavenly peace. But when reality was woken up, reality stood up and told the storms to calm down. And the storms calmed down. When reality spoke, the storms backed off. Now, part of our reality here today at the end of 2017 is these are uncertain times. You know, like the days when it felt like the rain would never stop. And those of you who left, you wondered, what will you come back to when the waters go down? I mean, uncertainty was the key word at the time. For many, it turned out to be a really inconvenient mess that postpone your life for 2 to 3 or 4 weeks, but for others, it was a life-changing reality. And you're probably still living in that changed reality. Yet in the middle of it all, for those of us who follow Jesus Christ, he was reminding us over and over again during the days and weeks of uncertainty, in big ways and small ways, I'm with you. I am with you. And many of us sensed his presence like we never have ever before. Because he really was with us in that storm, through that storm. He was with us when we evacuated. He was with us when we came back. He was with us when the rains came down and the waters came up. He was with us as we were mudding out home after home and taking people's memories out to the front yard week after week in what seemed like a routine that would never end. He was with us. And he is with us still. He is with us today as we face uncertain times. No matter what happens, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. And his message is always, I am with you. I am with you. Now, you can look at the storms in your life, and you can say, we're going to drown. This is bad. This is terrible. Or you can look at reality and go, who is this that even the wind and the waters obey him? The whole point of Christmas is that Jesus came to earth with this simple message. I'm with you. I'm with you. When he returned to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, to tell us, I'm with you. I am with you. The question tonight is, though, are you with him? I want you to meet somebody who is. Watch this.
I was born in Connecticut. I was born into a single parent home. It was my mom, my sister, and I. And we didn't do church. And then when I was 8, my mom met my dad. And then we started going to church and they got married. And then we moved to Canada. And that's really when I started seeing instead of just hearing what it's like to live the life with Jesus in it. And then in junior high, still in Canada, there was a junior high retreat and I decided to become a Christian there. Junior high is kind of awkward anyway, so sort of an awkward time. I wasn't like really sure of, okay, like my faith is solid and this is what it's going to look like. So it wasn't really until, I guess, we moved to Texas and then my sister passed away and I think I did sort of a runaway from that and went back to Canada for college. And I remember vividly, I was in a little prayer room at this college and it was really then that it became quite solid and it became a relationship with God. One of the storms is my husband and I becoming foster parents. I feel like fostering is a different kind of beast than just parenting. And so there were many, many times when I would be sobbing either in my closet or the shower and just telling God, I don't want to do this, but I want to do this. Like, this is exactly what I want to do, but I don't want to do it anymore because it's really, really hard. But nonetheless, you know, it was a deep storm for sure. I've experienced God through fostering in a way that I've never experienced God before in my life. I've experienced him deeper simply because you will have your darkest days, but you will feel like you are in the center of his heart, and that is what I feel every day, even when I feel defeated. I know that this is God. He's all about rescuing. So Hurricane Harvey flooded our home. We got about 2.5 feet of water inside. And so this home that we felt was, when we started fostering, was this sacred place to bring these children that needed a safe home. It now was destroyed. And so Hurricane Harvey really affected us more than just seeing this as a house, a simple house, and being ruined, but it destroyed something that we really felt was important to us and something that God led us to. And so now we're moving away from it, and that's emotional for us. But I remember being in the car on one of our many trips over there to clean up, and sitting in the car and visualizing this fabric that was hanging in my daughter's room, and it just simply said, "Life is beautiful," and you could see the water line on it. And I visualized it, and I thought, life really is beautiful, and I really truly feel confident in saying that and not just mouthing it. And so that storm, that actual physical storm, just brought me to a place of, I knew it in my head, but I really felt it and believed it, and it was firm, even in the middle of the mess. Life is hard, but faith makes it possible because you can keep going. You're not stuck in the mud. So without Jesus in your life, I know people do it. I know people do the hard stuff without him. I feel like without Jesus, then it's heavy. The hard storms are even heavier than, how do I get out of it? He makes it lighter just knowing that it's not the end. The storm isn't the end, and the storm isn't just wasted. The storm has a major purpose. I don't believe I'm the one that keeps hope alive. I believe God keeps it alive for me. He put it in there, and it's not going anywhere.
Did you catch the last thing Chantel said? I don't want you to miss it. She said, "I don't believe I keep hope alive. I believe God keeps it alive for me. He put it in there, and it's not going anywhere." Here's a Christmas message to you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, embrace it. Live like you believe it. Remember, his reality trumps all other reality. He is here with you, including in the storms of life. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe you're thinking about it, why not? Why not? Is faith a hard thing for you? Do you want to believe, but you just can't? Ask God to give you eyes into your heart. Ask him to give you faith so you can sense and so you can see his reality. And then as he does, take that big next step. To step over the line of faith and trust him as your Lord. Allow him to be what he came to be in the world, to be your Savior. Jesus was born in a lowly, out-of-the-way, insignificant town named Bethlehem to just normal, common folk. And he came here to earth so he could be with us. And he is with us. He is still with us. He was born so that he could one day die to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. When you admit your sinfulness and ask Jesus for forgiveness, and then ask him to come into your life and take control, he will. He will put his Holy Spirit inside of you. And you will live, whether you recognize it or not, with the reality of God being with you. Not just near you, but in you, with you, 24/7. I would encourage you to take that next step now, and I can help you do that with a simple prayer. Would all of you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment while I lead those folks? If you are ready to become a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're ready to have that ever-present reality of God with me, then just pray along these lines. I'll give you a prayer, and you just pray it from your heart. Just repeat with me. Just say, "Jesus, I need Emmanuel. I need God with me. I admit I've sinned. Please forgive me. I believe that you came to atone or pay for my sins, the penalty for my sins, when you died on the cross. Show me how to live. Be my reality. Come into my life. Take control. I choose to follow you from this point forward. Amen. Now, if you just did that, then I would encourage you to do a few things to follow up that decision. First, tell someone. Let someone know that you've received the best Christmas present you'll ever receive, that anyone could ever receive, that you became a follower of Jesus Christ. Tell someone. The next thing is receive a gift from us. When you walk out, pick up a Bible at the Welcome Center. Even if you already have one, pick up a Bible there. Get one that says Fresh Start with God on it. There's a note from me in there, and it'll talk to you about the decisions you just made, and it'll also give you some next steps to take. And one of those next steps is to go public with your faith, and that's what the Bible calls baptism. And that's something we do here often. We did it right before this service today. And we'll talk to you about that. You can speak to someone at the Next Step Center, Welcome Center, in here if you find me, or talk to anyone that looks like they know what's going on around here, and we'll talk to you about baptism. But I encourage you to take those next steps. And again, Christ followers, keep following. Keep trusting. Hope is alive right here with us.